नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय ॐ नमः भगवते वासुदेवाय श्रुत्वा स्थूलं तथा सूक्ष्मं रूपं भगवतो यतिः स्थूले निर्जितं आत्मानं शनै सूक्ष्मं धिया नये श्रुत्वा स्थूलं तथा सूक्ष्मं रूपं भगवतो यतिः स्थूले निर्जितम् आत्मानं शनै सूक्ष्मं धिया नये
After hearing of, from the disciplic succession,
Shtulam gross, Tata, as well as Sukshmam, subtle, Rupam, form, Bhagavata, of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Yatihi, a sannyasi or devotee. Sthule, the gross form. Nirjitam, conquered. Atmanam, the mind. Shanai, gradually. Sukshmam, the subtle spiritual form of the Lord. Diya, by intelligence. Nayet, one should lead it to. Iti, thus. Translations. One who is interested in liberation, who accepts the path of liberation, and is not attracted to the path of conditional life, is called yati, or a devotee. Such a person should first control his mind by thinking of the Virat Rupa, the gigantic universal form of the Lord, and then gradually think of the spiritual form of Krishna, Satchidananda Vigraha, after hearing of both forms. Thus one's mind is fixed in samadhi. By devotional service, one can then realize the spiritual form of the Lord, which is the destination of devotees. Thus his life becomes successful. Purport. It is said, Mahatsevam dvaram ahur vimukte. If one wants to progress on the path of liberation, he should associate with Mahatmas, or liberated devotees, because in such association there is a full chance for hearing, describing, and chanting about the name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all of which are described in Srimad Bhagavatam. On the path of bondage, one eternally undergoes the repetition of birth and death. One who desires liberation from such bondage should join the International Society for Krishna Consciousness and thus take advantage of the opportunity to hear Srimad Bhagavatam from devotees and also explain it to propagate Krishna Consciousness. Here very nicely, the whole devotional process is being explained in this one verse. Very nicely, is that there first must be interest in liberation. If there's no interest, then there's no real progress. Means one may do something by accident, and it's called agyata sukriti. That may start one, that may help one. But one cannot rely simply on just constant agyata sukriti. Just by accident you happen to do something devotional to become serious. So one must actually want to become serious. In such a serious condition, then one must progress. Now, we want this liberation. We have this interest, but now we must, it says, one who accepts the path. We must accept it also, that there is already a path chalked out. The acharyas have already given us directions how to go back to Godhead. So we must accept that path. When we accept that, then it becomes very strong. Then we become fixed properly on the path. So one must have the desire and one must accept that needs. Just saying I want but not doing doesn't make sense. Anyone who practically deals with the material energy then sees that many people say I want something but they're not willing to work for it. So those who are willing to work for it, they take the positions. They actually do things. They get things done. Or at least what we would call getting things done. But the point is you, someone who says is not enough, but someone has to accept the process and follow it. Then you can say this person will be successful. Otherwise, just to say, have the interest, then that's a hobby, right? My hobby. Yeah, liberation is my hobby. I dabble with it now and again. Somebody talks about it. It's interesting, nice. I read sometimes, visit the temple, do something. We become serious when we accept the path. Then it says, and one is not attracted to the path of conditioned life. So simultaneously, one cannot look in two directions at once. One cannot be looking at the Lord and away from the Lord simultaneously. You have to be doing one or the other. Because the Lord is in front, and if you're looking at Him, He being the like the sun, there's no shadow. And if we turn our back, then we see the shadow. So we can't be interested in the shadow and interested in the Lord, because you can't see them both at once. So one must be willing to turn around and become face the Lord. So then our progress goes towards the Lord. Otherwise we make progress, but away from the Lord. Right? The materialist is also progressing, but not necessarily towards the Lord. Progress is there. Right? People are busy making progress, but they're not being specific which way they're going, whether they're going up or they're going down. But the devotee is very specific that no, I want liberation, I accept the path of liberation, and I give up my attraction for the material world. At least that attempt. One has that desire. It is understood. One has been in the material world. Conditioned nature is there. Habit is there. Even I decide, today I'm going to do something. We are still stuck with our old habits. They just happen automatically without endeavoring. Right? So to change that habit, one takes concentration, takes determination. So this is the point here. One must accept that path. It means the path of determination, that vyavasayatmika buddhi. One must accept that path. And with that path, then one can go back to Godhead. Otherwise, it's slow. Because if one's looking the wrong way, or looking this way, or looking that way, one, there's so many ways to look. You know, even heavenly planets are there, Brahman is there, hell is there, so many things are there. So one has to be determined and fix one's mind on the Supreme Lord by giving up the attempt for material endeavor. Then, the next point is made is, such a person who does this, they are called yati, or devotee. Yati means sannyas. Sannyas is called a yati. Naham vipro nacha narapatir napi vaishana shudro naham varni nacha grihapatir no vanashto yatir va. Yatir, or a sannyasi. So yati means sannyas. So this is very interesting that the word sannyas and devotee are synonymous. It's not that there's two words in Prabhupada, it's just He's taking the same word, yati. He says a sannyasi or devotee. So this is a very important point in making this whole process work. So this is described by Krishna in the Gita, that Arjuna asked Krishna, well, what is better, renunciation of work or giving up the fruit of action? Means sannyas, means which gives up the work, or giving up the fruit, which is tyag. And we see throughout the Gita, Krishna uses these words interchanged. So then Krishna points out that you want to advance in devotional life, so you think, I shouldn't deal with material nature. Therefore, I should give up all activities, all material activities. And by doing that, giving up all material activities, that's called sannyas. But one problem remains. Our bad habits are still there. So now, because of these habits, we have nothing for them to do, right? You correct a bad habit by doing a good habit. So you can't get rid of a bad habit by doing nothing. Because you are active by nature. You have bad habits means one is still active on the material platform. So one must act on the material platform, but by renunciation of work means you do no work. Renunciation of work means zip, you don't do anything. You know, you study, you speak, and that's it. You don't endeavor in any other way. But how you'll purify yourself? Unless by hearing so nicely, you're so absorbed in hearing process that you can do this. But we see that that comes later. Krishna says, thus one's mind is fixed in samadhi. It's later. So then, what this is meaning here is that one must give up the fruits of activity. That the fruit is there. You're going to perform an activity. An activity is going to give it a change, a result. Right? The wise understand that the material nature is actually nirakar. There's no qualities. Right? Nirvisesh. There's no variety. It appears as variety, but it's not actually variety because there's no substance. I take a lump of mud and I ask you, what is this? And you'll say, it's a lump of mud. And then I stick my finger in it and make a little dent in it. Then I say, now what is it? Right? You'll naturally say, no, now it's still a lump of mud. But I'm thinking, no, I changed it. I put a dent in it now. Now it's different. Variety. And you say, it's just a lump of mud. So I'll take my fist and I'll pound on it and make a bigger dent. And I'll say, now what is it? And you'll again say, it's a lump of mud. You know, what's your problem? And you're saying, no, but now it's a lump of mud with a dent in it. But it's still a lump of mud. So there's no change. There's no qualities. Therefore, actually the material world is nirvisesh. Only the spiritual world has qualities. Because there the spiritual quality is real. What it is real. How it manifests is real. But the material world is not real. So there's no qualities here. So the devotee understands this. And he understands whatever is going on in the material world is just the change of the material manifestation. But whether the shadow, if I stand there and my shadow is short or it's very long, I'll still call it my shadow. I don't say that I have different names for a short shadow, long shadow, fat shadow, thin shadow. You know, whether it's going up a wall or at a 90 degrees or it's going up steps so it has many. There's no different names, it's only shadow. So for the spiritualist, there's only the material existence. It's not that, well, here's a, you know, fancy car and a nice house and a big position and all kinds of different things like that. No, it's all the same. It's just material existence. So someone with this vision, means we see in the previous verse it's been mentioned, or even in this verse, yes, in this verse, one should study the Virat Roop, hear about it. So by hearing about the Virat Roop, we understand that this is what's going on. There's the soul, there's the super soul, and there's the material energy. And that's it. Material energy makes some variation and appears so, but it's just going on like that. Nothing of any substance for us, the soul. our relationships with the Supersoul. So in this condition, then one becomes a yati. So now this is where the interesting point comes. This is Daivavarnashram. Daivavarnashram means anyone as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyasi, or as a shudra, brahman, vaishya, or kshatriya. If they have this understanding that I am performing my varnashram duties, but the result of it's for Krishna. Therefore, I do my duties very nice to please Krishna. So I do work, the result will be nice. I try for a nice result. I endeavor hard. Why? Because I want a good result for Krishna. Then, no matter what one's varna or ashram, one is a sannyasi. Right? That is the interesting point of Daivavarnashram. So this is where serious devotional service starts. At this point we say this person is a devotee. Right? Before that we'll also call devotee. But if we get into the technical terms, we're talking about bhakta vash. They look like they're a devotee. Just like we're chanting the holy name, it looks like we're chanting the holy name. But the holy name is non-different from Krishna. But because we don't recognize him like that, he doesn't reciprocate like that. Therefore, it's just like the shadow. It's like the, not shadow, it's like when the sun, before the sun rises, the light is there. All ignorance is gone. Light is there, but you don't see the sun. In other words, all the different manifestation of the potencies of the Lord is there in the holy name. It's non-different. But we are not recognizing the form. Therefore, Krishna is not reciprocating with us in that same personal way. He deals with us. He knows who we are. We don't know who he is. So he's taking care of us nicely. But when we recognize that this name is non-different from Krishna, then it takes on a whole different flavor. So in the same way as one comes to this platform of Nishkam Karma Yoga, where one performs one's activity for Krishna, one is factually a sannyasi. Because one is doing the work with the fruits of Krishna's. Therefore, there's such nice interaction between such devotees because they are madhyamas. They are madhyamas. Doubts are not there, or minimal. Doubts are gone in the process. Doubts are gone in the devotee, the Supreme Lord, the holy name. Therefore, they can associate with each other very, very nicely. It doesn't matter what the service is, what the ashram is. They deal with each other very nicely. Brahmacharis aren't thinking, oh, all these, you know, materialistic grihasthas. And the grihasthas aren't thinking, oh, all these dishonest, you know, brahmacharis and sannyasis. Like this. We're dealing actually with devotees now. That's why it says, yati. They are our devotees. They're not looking like devotees. They are devotees. Because they've come to the Madhyam platform. They've accepted the path of liberation. But before that, they're trying, or doing this, or doing their own process. Right? We'll make up our own process. But this means one is specifically doing this. Then that platform, one is non-different. Otherwise, before that, we have so many material desires. This is called Sakam. On this platform, then this is the devotional platform. Right? We're talking technically here. It means anyone who has accepted the Supreme Lord and is trying to please the Supreme Lord in some way by their activities is a devotee. That we must understand is the basis. The perfection is prema, but anyone who's accepted this platform is a devotee. But what we're talking here is when devotional service gets serious. That's what we're talking about. When it gets serious, then this is what's happening. So when we have our own desires, that means many times we may compromise the process for our own desires. But here is talking about we don't do that. What we're doing is our service. And we do factually connect it. It's not just lip service. Right? Just like we may say the brahmacharis say they're brahmacharis and they're wearing saffron, but they're not actually brahmacharis. So in the same way is one becomes a grihastha, actually when one understands that the house, the wife, the family, everything belongs to Krishna. Factually, not just saying, oh, it's devotional service, but actually saying. then you have the same quality between the brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, and yet there's no difference. Because they all understand that they are different from the body. We are conditioned. They accept that fact. We're not fools and think, I'm not conditioned. I'm a condition. I'm conditioned in this way. I'm conditioned to brahmacharya. I'm conditioned to grihastha. I'm conditioned to vanaprastha. I'm conditioned to sannyas. So therefore, we do the duties to raise above these duties. Then that is the yati, or devotee. So this is, of course, a platform here that we are aspiring for. We are trying to get to that platform. It says here, one is interested in liberation, and one who accepts the path. So this is, and not attracted to the path of conditioned life. So the process of seriously accepting the path and detaching ourselves from the attachment. This is the point, the attachment, not the activity. Here we're not talking that to become detached means you have to give up the grihastha ashram and give up the brahmacharya. No. It means you're doing them, but you're not, the fruit you understand is Krishna's. There's a difference. Right? In the ordinary varnashram system, you can only say someone is detached when they have taken vanaprastha and sannyas. But actually, we know they haven't taken vanaprastha sannyas because material desire is still in their heart. They've given up the work by which they can purify themselves. That's all they've done. And they're thinking they're going to practice jnana yoga. But they're not. They're never successful. How many successful jnanis have we heard of? Right? The only successful people we hear of in the Bhagavatam are the devotees. All those who are not devotees, they're never successful. So it looks like they took sannyas. It looks like they're very renounced, walking around barefoot, you know, just wearing their rags. But actually in their heart, they still have the desire to control and enjoy the material nature. So only the devotee actually becomes renounced. They are actually the only sannyasis. Because they renounce the actual desire to enjoy the fruit. Which is the real thing, because it's illusion anyway. Right? It's just like this. I may say, I'll enjoy my shadow. You can't enjoy it anyway. But if you're under the illusion, I'm going to enjoy it, we suffer so much because we can't. Right? Once we give that up, I can't enjoy it anyway. That's not, you know, it's created by Krishna. You know? Because Krishna is the sun, there's a shadow there. Then when we give that up, we don't suffer anymore. That person is actually called sannyas. So this is the point here. Is the devotee, he is the real sannyasa. Like that. That is, so if we want to come to that platform, then devotional service, it becomes serious. Then it continues. Such a person should first control his mind by thinking of the Virat Purush. Means while we're performing our activities, our devotional duties, we must cultivate this path of understanding, of knowledge. We must know how the Lord has manifested in this material world. Because we understand material nature is dead matter. And I am soul, I am active. So how is it we see the material nature seems to be working? It seems to move, change, variety, seasons and days and nights and emotion. Why it's all going on? We see the soul, but behind that we see the super soul. And how the super soul is entered into this material universe. How he has made everything come to life. By time, things, there's movement, and by his empowering things, then things get done. Without that, if he hasn't entered, nothing works. So we understand that the only reason that there's movement and everything's happening is the modes of nature that Krishna has empowered. Otherwise, nothing's there. Then from that, then it says, and then gradually think of the spiritual form of Krishna. Means we know, we hear, but our contemplation, we won't be able to think about Krishna all the time because we're conditioned to material nature. So as much as we can hear about both and think about Krishna Satchitananda form, we do that. But when we're not, then we should be seeing the material nature in work. And we know it's Krishna that's making that work. Then that is the proper. Then you're always thinking of Krishna. Either we see material nature, we see Krishna in it, or we're able to think of the eternal form of Krishna. And then, as we do that, one's mind is fixed in samadhi, because one is always thinking of Krishna, either the universal form or a spiritual form. And as time goes, he says, then it says, by devotional service, then one becomes very absorbed. One is absorbed in the devotional service. One sees one's activities as devotional service. Then one can then realize the spiritual form of the Lord. Then we'll be able to, in that constant absorption in Krishna, come to the point of full absorption in Krishna and come to the platform of prayer. Okay? So by following this, by understanding Krishna in the material nature, performing our duties without attachment as a sannyasi, we come to the platform of understanding, that we come to the platform of liberation. So that's the point. As we come to that platform by here. Now he's saying that by devotional service, those activities, because of the underlying devotional service, now devotional service becomes prominent. We're not conditioned anymore. Now we're thinking of the eternal form of the Lord and performing devotional service because conditioned nature is gone. Even when we're performing seemingly material activities, it's all pure devotional service. On this platform, then we realize the eternal form of the Lord. And we come to this platform of prema. Then, it says, thus one's life becomes successful. So then Prabhupada, in his purport, points out that one should associate, says, Mahat Sevam Varam Ahura Vimukte, that associate service to the Mahats is the dvara, is the door by which you are going to get mukti. And it says vimukti, so it's not just liberation, but vimukti means spiritual, this actual transcendental pastimes of the Lord. Mukti just means you go to the Brahman. But vimukti means you actually realize the Lord. So you're going to get that by associating with the devotees and always hearing about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of the Lord. Right? And from that, then we can become attached to Krishna and detached from the material nature. We become fixed, very serious about the devotional path, serious about liberation. Then Prabhupada recommends one should join this movement. So there's two ways of joining this movement. One is that we actually come in and physically we've joined. The other is what's mentioned here. We actually take up the teachings as our life and soul. Then we're fully joined. We join, and then we fully join. This is the mystique of devotional service. Anything is devotional service. But when you want this transcendental platform, you want to develop love for Krishna, you're serious about it, you take up the process, you hear about Krishna and the association of devotees, and apply that in your life, then by that devotional service, then we can hear always Srimad Bhagavatam and perfect our life and give that to others. So by hearing, by chanting, then we become perfect. So that is what is being mentioned here. Any questions or comments? Yes.
I don't know if I missed this point, but I don't understand exactly what it means when you said that Rich Sanyas is devotee.
Yes.
But what kind of devotee is he? I speak, what it means?
So the question is asked is what level in devotional life do we have to be that we can say we're sannyasi? So you're meaning which? Just the means the mentality or the action or the social form?
Means
the mentality. So that means is first thing we do is after we associate with devotees, we understand what is the best situation for us to advance in Krishna consciousness. That may be found as a brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas. Some people, when they have more stuff, the mind is peaceful, and they're able to engage that in Krishna service. Some people, they have more stuff, they go nuts. They have to have less stuff. You know, deal less with the material energy. Then they can concentrate on Krishna. Right? Means when they have too much, they're always worried about getting rid of it. What am I going to do with it? This, that, I don't want it, love this. So if they don't have it, mind is peaceful, they can think of Krishna. Someone else, if they don't have it, they're always thinking about it, so better they have it and think of Krishna. So one finds one's social position and occupational work that one can do for Krishna. And that may be as brahmachari, grihastha, vanaprastha, sannyas, or any of the activities. Then one does those activities and practices doing those activities for the pleasure of Krishna, without desiring the fruit, whatever the fruit may be. Even the fruit is just everyone will say, I'm doing this so wonderfully. Right? We're giving a class and everyone will say, oh, such a nice class. We're giving a kirtan, oh, it's such nice. We're managing, oh, it's such great managing. Even if it's only that much fruit, that we must give up, because we understand Krishna is the ability. It's only going nicely by the grace of Guru and Krishna. Otherwise, it wouldn't be happening. So like that, then we see, yes, this is Krishna. So giving up the fruit, you know, and naturally, yeah, then that is sannyas. So generally we see that that comes when we are, when anarthas start to go from the heart. That's why it mentions here, as we become detached from, and one and is not attracted to the path of conditional life. Right? One is not attracted by all the, you know, the, how do you say it, the trappings and the facilities of material life. You know? So when one is not attracted to these things, then that is, so as long as we have attraction, then there's doubt in the heart, because we're thinking that this actually has substance. So as we learn the philosophy, we understand it doesn't have substance. I may need to use it for my service, but it doesn't have any substance to it. You know, I may need a house to live in and keep my family and my stuff, but the house itself doesn't actually have any substance. Its only substance is because now we've connected it to Krishna by engaging in Krishna's service. That we're devotees, we're doing Krishna's service, we need a place to stay, we stay here. That's his only substance. Otherwise it has zero substance. Or if in the house we perform devotional activities, you know, we think of Krishna, we do our duties, our household duties, we understand these duties are for Krishna. You know, we cook for Krishna, we raise the children that they should become nice devotees. Husband and wife deal with each other as devotees, discuss devotional service. Then, in that way, the house becomes fire, you know, iron and fire becomes fire. So the house also becomes devotional. But only because of the devotional service. Otherwise, it's also just illusion. So understanding that, then one comes to the platform, one's not attached to these things. One does it because that's the best position for his conditioned mind and intelligence and senses. Then it works very nicely. So then one comes to that platform. When one is convinced that this material world has nothing to offer, there's nothing to offer, then one becomes more, starts to put the attention more on Krishna. One is not distracted as much by what's around him. Then at that point we see that one becomes detached. So one maybe come to the sannyas platform from the brahmachari ashram, from the grihastha ashram, from the vanaprastha, or even from the sannyas ashram. Because it is not a matter of social conditioned situation, it's a matter of the consciousness. Yeah.
It's also no matter
No, it doesn't matter also kanista madhyam uttam. Generally what you'll see is the madhyam basically means he can work with devotees. Devotees have some meaning. They're not just someone that you go to when you want something or that you, you know, it's conversation. Like, you know, in your house you keep something interesting, it's a conversation piece, so when people come you don't know what to talk about. Then they go, oh, what's this? And then you can tell the whole story about it, or where you bought it, or its history, or, you know, something just to start conversation. So we don't take devotees just as conversation pieces. Oh, did you hear this one did that, and that one did this, and so many things, and like that. So when we come to the point, we actually value devotees because of the devotees. It means the asat aspect, the conditioned aspect, you can unlimitedly talk about it. But that is of no use. You might as well go out and talk about, you know, the shadow of the tree all day. You know, you could do it. You could start a whole thing, set up an office out there, get a computer, start analyzing, you know, its movement every day, get out the measurements, you know, the millimeters and the time and, you know, the direction this way, you know, according to the seasons, and then, you know, in the rainy season, how it's not there because of the clouds, and then, you know, like all you could do, you could spend your whole life. But it has no meaning. So when we realize that this kind of discussion has no meaning, and that only associating with devotees, hearing the holy name, discussing Krishna consciousness, performing devotional service has substance, then one becomes a muddhi. That's all. Basically, it means all doubts go. How is it that a devotee can do this or that? That's the conditioned nature. What does that got to do with anything? They've accepted the path and are trying to go for that path. That's the reality. We should be talking about that. And the weaknesses, unless we're in a position to help them overcome those weaknesses, or we go to an authority who could help them overcome, or if we just want to discuss simply that we understand what is going wrong so that we don't do it ourselves, we understand the situation, just for our own, we're not criticizing, just to understand mechanically how the modes of nature are working, so that I don't fall prey to the same modes, then that has some use. Other than that, it's not service at all. It may be about devotees, it may be about devotional service, but it's 101% pajalpa. There's nothing devotional about it at all. Right? Nothing. I talk about some devotee did something crazy, but if there's not a purpose to please Krishna by this, in other words, the fruit of this conversation is not for Krishna, it's pajalpa. Nothing more. You know, it's not the pajalpa, it's only about, you know, the list of sex, meat eating, intoxication, gambling, and anything else other than that, then is Krishna conscious. No, Krishna conscious means about Krishna. Krishna, his devotees, his service, name, form, qualities, pastimes, that's service. Otherwise, it's pajalpa. No other benefit. No benefit. You know, I mean, of course, it passes the time like that. The mind is hard to fix on Krishna, or the understanding of the material world. So we do it. It's our conditioned nature. But as that starts to go down, and we come to terms with actually what is devotional service, the seriousness of it, that's when one starts to overcome one's doubts or material conditioning. It means the gross material conditioning and the doubts that one has, the misgivings one has. You know? Then one takes up this platform of devotional service he's talking about. So anyone can do it. That's the glory of devotional service. It's not barred by age or anything. It means a jnani, you have to know Sanskrit, basically. And you have to be mature enough that you can sit down and read books all day with no basically other physical activity. So basically jnana yoga is for older people. Jnana is for older people. Karma is for people who already know how to do something. Right? You already know how to perform an activity that you can get a fruit from. Right? Then you can take up the path of karma. Right? Kids can't do anything. They're taken care of by others. Right? So your middle-aged people, they can do karma, practice karma. The older people can do jnana. And the yogi, minimum, has to be 12, otherwise he can't even start the asanas. Right? But they also have to perform karma to get to the advanced platform. So that means they have to be trained in that also. So it's going to take them time. Therefore we see it took, you know, 10,000 years, 60,000 years in the Satya Yuga to come to the perfectional platform. It's slow. But devotional service can be taken up by anybody. So the point is one is that interest in liberation, or at least willingness to follow. Then devotional service becomes serious when we accept the path of devotional service and reject the material path. It means the desire to enjoy the material nature. Not dealing with the material nature, the desire to enjoy material nature. Then one comes to the Madhyama platform, and that is the sannyasa. That is the Nishkam Karma Yogi. So that is the point. And so only actually the devotees can do this. Non-devotees, no matter how pious and qualified, actually never really get to this platform. They get close, it looks like it. But they never factually get, because it's just a matter of time. Some lifetimes, and they won't be doing it anymore. But for the devotee, they go back to Godhead. So they actually were detached from the material. Does that make any sense? Anything else? Okay, last. Devadgaranda Prabhu is making the point that we see the non-devotees is that they're following the Vedic culture, but for the purpose of just gaining material enjoyment. So then they see that they can get material enjoyment even without following it, by following Vikarma or by sinful activities. They'll give it up and just go for sinful activities. And Prabhupada gives so many examples of the, you know, big yogis, sannyasis. They seemingly give up all activities. You give them some time and they'll be opening hospitals and doing all this kind of work. So they never actually give up. Okay, so we'll end here. Rantaraj Shivan Bhagavatam Ki, Srila Prabhupada Ki, Jaina Taigoda Premanam.